Welcome to RV Podcast, episode number 221.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 221, being released bright and early on December 5th, 2018. This is the RV Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Wendland. And this week we hear from one of our favorite people, Chef MJ, Mary Jane Curry, who's been writing up RV recipes for our RV lifestyle blog for several years now, and has just published a delightful cookbook aimed squarely at RVers called Small Kitchen, Big Flavors. Chef MJ is our interview of the week in this episode. She's got five great RV kitchen and cooking tips for you. Plus, you'll get first notice here of an awesome event this spring where you can learn from Chef MJ in person. And that's coming up in a bit in our interview of the week segment. But also in this episode, we've got lots of RV news, RV tips, a great off the beaten path report from the Burkitts, and much more. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we are still at our Sticks and Bricks home in Michigan. Kind of feels like we're on vacation, doesn't it?
It's been great.
It's been here.
That time of the year when you're extra busy, so you've got lots of things to get done.
Lots of kids and grandkids stuff, and we're having fun keeping track of family and friends and catching up. Doctor appointments, when we're on the road so much, it's kind of hard. So we... do I have another dentist appointment this week or is it next week? Okay. Getting all that taken care of. And isn't that fun? And we are working on lots and lots of videos. We shot one this morning and I did some drone video of our new RV. And I am cautiously optimistic if we have a good day tomorrow that we will be able to get that shot and edited tomorrow so we can show it Thursday.
Sounds good. You had some blue sky.
Yeah, first blue sky we've seen in Michigan in a long time. Now, I'm shooting for this video that we've been promising since we've had this RV here a month now, and we haven't had a chance because of the weather to really do our full little tour of it, and we're hoping to finish that up tomorrow, and then we'll have it Thursday. I'm thinking, though, Jennifer, that we're going to do a big YouTube premiere on this on Thursday night, like at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We'll release the video at one time, 7 p.m. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, the 6th of December. And you and I kind of hang around in the chat room before, and then we roll the video. It goes live at 7, and then after the video is over, we have a little talk with everybody who wants to ask any questions by text. And it's kind of a fun little thing that YouTube allows some of its channels to do. And we've never done a premiere, so... let's do it.
All right.
So that's worth shooting for Thursday night. If there's any changes, I will let you know. You can find out. I'll make sure that's going on the RVLifestyleChannel.com. And also, we put it on all of our Facebook groups. So we're working on that video. And you can't really see this too well, but Jennifer, you're surrounded by boxes on all different sides. We've got a lot of things that we're going to be reviewing. We've got an internet satellite system for TV with a very cool compact antenna. We've got a new product from Weingard that's both a Wi-Fi booster and a cell booster. We've got another one from our friends at WeBoost, and we've got all sorts of gadgets and things that we've used and tested over the years, and we want to do a video on that for maybe next week. So, lots of videos.
This is what you love. You're the gadget guy. Just love getting all these things.
Yeah, it's fun to test them all out. I would like to have warm weather and be able to roam around outside and do it, but hey, I had blue sky today. It was cold. I was freezing out there, but the drone worked. Put the drone up. That's always fun to fly the drone and shot all the rooftop stuff on this new RV. So anyway, that's Thursday. We're working on videos meantime. We did our Christmas tree.
We've got it up.
Yep, you did most of the work on that.
Oh, well,
I say we. I don't want to.
This is the frustrating part. When you get the tree up and you get all the lights on it, we have the old fashioned tree. We have to put the lights on. And then we're sitting there, what's happening with the lights? And a string of them went half dead.
I saw something advertised on TV. It's like a little gun that you put on a light or something that rejuvenates dead light bulb strings. Did you see that ad the other night?
I saw that ad, but I think, I don't know what happened, but like half the string went dead.
Yeah. Well,
and, you know, this is like,
yeah.
So, I mean, I thought we were done and now we're not quite done.
Yeah.
But it's all good.
It is all good. And I want to give you guys an update. We've broached this subject a couple of times, but we are going to take the last 2 weeks of December off. And that would be. We'll have a podcast next week on the 12th of December, but I think we're going to then take the 19th and the 26th off. I'm not going to do any new videos. I'm not going to do any new podcast. I'm going to put the newsletter on a short hiatus for 2 weeks. We've never taken 7 years almost. It'll be 7 years in March that we've been doing all this, and we've never taken a week off.
I got to see it to believe it.
Well, I'm telling everybody about it. So that's the plan. There might be, I always jump in on the Facebook group and on the YouTube community tab, you know, on the YouTube channel, RV Lifestyle Channel. If you haven't been there, by the way, when you go to the RVLifestyleChannel.com, there's a tab for community. And it's kind of like Facebook and all the others. It's a little place where you can interact with people. And I go on there a lot too. So, but I'm not going to do any big, you know, stories, blog posts, videos, podcasts, newsletters, massive video projects, 2 weeks off.
And this is your daughter guiding you in that direction.
Yeah.
She's the one who talked you into this.
Yeah, well.
But it's good.
No, you talked me into it.
Oh, I've talked to you for years, but all right, maybe two against one.
So we'll see how that works. So, but most of the other people in this that do RV stuff, they also take those 2 weeks off, and I'm going to do it. So we'll give that a try.
You're going to go through withdrawal.
I know. I mean, I like going out and doing that stuff. But
you're going to be doing live stuff all the time, saying, hi, everybody, what you doing out there?
Oh, that's an idea. I could do that. I could go on live. That doesn't take any work at all. Just setting up. Okay, she's giving me the look. Men, you know what the look is, right? I don't have to say anymore. Okay. We did put this out last week. It's free. I want to emphasize that. Somebody sent me a note and said, how much is your Christmas gift guide thing? Hey, it's free. It's just, we just put it all together because everybody is always looking to buy Christmas presents for RVers in their life. And so we put a lot of the products that we have used and recommend. And I just put it, we put it in like a little catalog, a guide. You can download it free and it's for you. You can give it to as many people as you want. No charge, nothing like that. Nothing to fill out. Just go to roadtrekking.com/Christmas and you can get an instant download of that. And maybe that'll help you find a gift for somebody that's on your list. And I don't know, I don't really talk a lot about this. I should mention this about our Road Trekking RV Lifestyle community. I think most of you or many of you know that we do a newsletter every week to members of that community. It's free. There's no charge or anything. And it comes to their email inbox every Monday. It's filled with RV news and tips and links and all that stuff. Kind of an advanced peek of what we're doing here on the blog and podcast the week ahead and lots of great resources. It's free. But when you join that community, all you have to do is go to roadtrekking.com/community. And when you join that, you get all these discounts and a couple, three free little guides that we've put together. And what else do you get? You get discounts on RV services. Many of the people who come by our sponsorship way, they give special breaks to our listeners and our readers and our viewers. And so we pass those on to you. And you get those all by just by free. 550,000 people in all of our different platforms in our community. And just go to roadtrekking.com/community.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Seems like every week I find a couple of animal stories that I like from various places that we have been in. Here's a great one. If you have been out west in any of the national parks, the big national parks out there, out for a hike, and have ever come across wild buffalo, have they ever been not too happy to see you? You had one.
I had one at Yellowstone.
Yeah, and you weren't doing anything.
I got too close to it.
It came too close to you.
It came too close to me.
Yeah, you were just
standing
there.
We were by the car, but he was grunting at me.
I always thought he was kind of huffing, but yeah, he was grunting. And you did absolutely the right thing.
I got back in the car.
Yeah. And I didn't even bother to take a picture of it. However, that's not what happened last week. Story I saw last week, apparently this guy was hiking on Antelope Island, which is near Salt Lake City, Utah. And he was with his dog, his German Shepherd, and a herd of buffalo, bison, decided to go aggressively, to come very close to him. And the man did what a lot of people do these days. He whipped out his smartphone and he recorded the whole thing on Facebook and went live on Facebook. And as the bison started following him, he noticed that their tails were up. And by the way, that is a sign of aggression. And that they were grunting menacingly, like the one that did for Jennifer. So the guy walked faster and faster. It's all on video. And then he tried to climb a tree and he called for help. Anyway, he had a happy ending. A parks official came to help. And officials said that the herd mistook the dog as a predator. They weren't so much after him as they were concerned about his dog. That's why so many places don't let you hike with dogs. And a lot of dog people get really up in arms about it. Well, this is the wildlife's home, not your dog's home. And you don't want your dog hurt, and you don't want you to get hurt, and you don't want to hurt the animals who mistaken dogs like for wolves or coyotes. So anyway, we will put links to that story and the guy's Facebook Live video on the show notes for this episode, which was roadtrekking.com/221.
You may have heard that Elkhart, Indiana, home to the RV manufacturing industry, is closely watched for signs of how the economy is doing. Several stories out last week analyzed what the third slip in RV shipments in a row means, not just for the RV industry, but for the whole country. The RV Industry Association reported wholesale shipments to dealers dropped 11% for its third period, yet RV sales in the U.S. and Canada are up 4.63%. What is not clear is if this third drop in shipments is because dealers had ordered too much inventory, or if rising interest rates, tariffs, and the contentious political climate is adding up to mean something else.
I think another factor is that, particularly in the Class B market, they are having a rough time and the manufacturers have had a rough time getting chassis, particularly for the Sprinters. And so obviously sales are up, so that shows that demand is strong. And if shipments are down, then they're not getting the inventory, and who knows? But there's probably a combination of all that stuff. But we know sales are still very strong. Hey, the manatees are back. This happens every year, but usually a little later. Florida's Blue Springs State Park tells us this week that the manatees are back and in large numbers because of cold temperatures that hit the Sunshine State. And that, of course, drives these gentle giants inland to Florida's Warm Springs area. That story that came out this week of them returning to Blue Springs made me remember our camping trip that we took to Blue Springs a few years back to see the manatees. And we'll put a link to that story there. It's pretty neat area. We thoroughly enjoyed camping in the park and watching those gigantic creatures, the sea cows, they call them. If you can't make it to Florida, they have a webcam operating with live footage, and we'll put a link to that as well in the show notes, roadtrekking.com/221.
A sad story caught my eye out of Idaho this week about a man dying after his camper at a KOA caught on fire. The man had apparently been using a space heater to help his vehicle stay warm. And fire officials said the blaze was caused by combustible material getting too close to the space heater. The trailer also did not have a working smoke alarm, a tragic story that serves as a reminder for all of us who camp in cold weather.
Last story, the search continuing for a missing 20-year-old hiker. At this, as we report this, he's still missing. This happened at Rocky Mountain National Park. Guy has not been heard from for about a week. He's 20 years old, a U.S. Air Force Academy cadet candidate, and he decided to go hiking in that popular park alone. And never was heard from since, so nobody knows what happened. Story kind of highlights the dangers of hiking alone, and it got me thinking back to an interview we did on the podcast some time back with an expert hiker who discussed hiking safety, something that's always good to review. While you're in kind of like a down season, most people are kind of, you know, head, you know, hunkered in for Christmas and the holidays. Why don't you dig up that interview? Listen to our hiking safety expert. We'll put a link in the show notes, roadtrekking.com/221.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
In a month, Mike, Bo, and I will head to Michigan's Upper Peninsula for one of my favorite trips of the season. Our annual winter campout. We camp at Lower Fall Campground in the Tequamenon Falls State Park and always have so much fun. Sometimes we go snowshoeing, other times cross-country skiing, but always we're walking, being outside, and enjoying the beauty of winter in the deep woods. But one thing I need to be very careful about when we do our winter camping is keeping my fingers and toes warm. I have Raynaud's disease, which I think 10% of us out there have as well, which causes the arteries in my fingers and toes to contract when I get cold, literally cutting off circulation and changing the color of my fingers and toes if I'm not careful to, they turn like a ghost-like white. And they're so cold, you can't believe how cold they are. And then when I get warm again, they turn a great shade of deep purple before they go back to being normal.
I mean, we're talking sheet white and, you know, purple. I mean, it's stunning. Our son Scott once, our son Scott's a doctor, when he was in med school, didn't he take pictures?
Well, he asked me to have them turn white. I stuck my hand in the freezer, and I guess he was getting rather impatient. We couldn't wait long enough for them to turn white. You know, they don't turn on demand,
it's dangerous. You could, you know.
Oh, yeah. Gangrene. You have to get warm.
Yeah.
You can't let your fingers freeze off. So to protect myself from the elements, I rely upon a wonderful invention called hot hands. And I'd love to tell you all about it in case any of you have the same problem that I have. I buy both the hot hands, hand warmers, and the toe warmers. They're cut to fit inside a glove, and the other is cut to fit in a boot. And instead of putting it on the under part of my foot, the sole of my foot, I get the sticky kind, and I put it on the top of my foot. And I find that that's more comfortable for walking, and it works great for me. I've discovered that going to the dog park every day. But they both operate the same way. About 15, 30 minutes before you plan to head outside, you simply open the package and take the hand or the toe warmers out and expose it to the warm air of your RV. Then you shake the package vigorously. After about 15, 30 minutes, the packages heat up and you simply put them in your gloves or in your boots and head outside, and it's that simple. Each warmer can only be used once, and they last about 8 hours. The warmers are made in the USA, and the listed ingredients include iron powder, water, salt, activated charcoal, and wood fiber. When you're done with a package, you can simply throw it into the trash. I found a package of 40 hand warmers for $28 on Amazon, and they are often sold at ski resorts and other places where people are planning to spend time outside. You can get 40 toe warmers for about $33. I'll share a link to the hot hands in the show notes in case it will help any of you. Also, we'll be doing a video next week on something else we tried, electric gloves. We'll compare how they work compared to the hand warmers I've been using. Look for that video next Tuesday. And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it, then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied, and then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. I love hearing from you.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes now with free shipping and a very special discount to members and listeners of our RV lifestyle community. Jennifer and I have had a Rad Power Bike for almost a year now. We both have the city bike models. Mine is kind of the guy's version. It's just like a beach cruiser. And Jennifer's is a step-through. It means there's no center pipe there that she has to, you know, throw her leg over. You can just step right through. Rad Power Bikes is a consumer direct brand. And that's a really good deal for you because that means you get a premium electric bike. But you don't have to pay that huge markup that's caused by dealers and third-party retailers. In fact, Rad Power Bikes are priced often less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because that dealer retail markup chain is cut off. All five of their models for 2019 have the most powerful motor an e-bike can have, 750 watts of power, and still be street legal, meaning no licenses required. You can ride it anywhere you can ride a bicycle. All five models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling, but you can also ride with pedal assist, do some of the pedaling yourself and have it give you a little help up hills or if you get tired, or just do all the pedaling yourself. Riders can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. Now, I already mentioned free shipping, which is great. They're very simple too. They'll arrive at your house. They're really easy to put together. Even I can do it. Maybe 5 minutes is all it takes a bike. And great instructions, great tech support on the phone for you if you have questions. But when you buy from Rad Power Bikes at checkout online, you go to radpowerbikes.com. Use the promo code ROADTREKKING and you will get an additional $75 off. Use that promo code ROADTREKKING for that $75 off discount. RadPowerBikes.com.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question? Leave a comment? Click the Leave Voicemail button on the right side of the RVPodcast.com blog. We welcome listener voices and love your questions. Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hello, Mike and Jennifer. 2018 was touted as the year of the 5G network. Since, I don't know what, mid-year, I've heard crickets. Other than one article that talked about near, the operative word being near 5G, but not quite 5G. So do you have any updates for us? Thanks.
Well, I do. As a matter of fact, I too have been anxiously awaiting to see what the status of 5G. Unbelievable speed. I mean, really amazing speed. But don't look for anything until next year and only in spotty cities around the country. All of the big providers, Verizon, Sprint, AT&T, T-Mobile, all of them are working on it. And Verizon has probably done the earliest 5G deployment, but they're using something called fixed wireless, which is kind of like wireless broadband that many people have used at home. But it's done with 5G, and they rolled that out in a handful of cities in October, Houston, Indianapolis, LA, Sacramento. But that's about it. The company announced that the mobile part for those that, you know, out running around with handsets, that network will go live in 2019, but you need brand new phones. The existing phones you have will not work on 5G. You have to have new handsets, and Samsung is expected to launch in the first half of the year on the Verizon network with one of its 5G phones. We don't know which model yet. They haven't announced that. And we don't know exactly where and what cities. I would bet they'd likely be the same ones they rolled it out for the home test, those four cities. But that's the first half of the year for Verizon. Now, AT&T has already announced it's going to launch 5G wireless in 12 cities by the end of the year, next year. Atlanta, Charlotte, Dallas, Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Louisville, New Orleans, Oklahoma City, Raleigh, San Antonio, and Waco. That's actually, they said that they were going to do that by the end of this year. They would roll that out. In 2019, they want to add Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Nashville, Orlando, San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose. They are then going to be added. And their first 5G-capable device will be kind of a mobile hotspot, not a smartphone. But that's pretty cool. It'll be one of those little wireless pucks, like, you know, and it's like the jetpack that AT&T will sell. But this will be a mobile hotspot, and they expect to have that coming soon. But if it is active in those cities, they want it by the end of the year. I don't know, but they're saying that that's coming. That's AT&T. They did a lot of tests, and they're pretty excited about it. Now, Sprint is looking at an early 2019 rollout. They're currently building out its network capacity, and they have to boost LTE speeds, the 4G LTE, because if there is no 5G, these new 5G headsets will then drop back to 4G LTE, and so they got to make sure that that handoff goes right. T-Mobile's looking for a 2019 launch. Then they'll do nationwide 5G coverage in 2020. They won a pretty good auction for some spectrum last year, and they're going to use that for 5G. You know, you'll see some in 2019, but believe me, I don't think you're going to see it widely available or available enough unless you don't. If you travel, it's not going to be that useful because, you know, most of the places you go are not going to have it for a while. I'm telling people, I think it's great when it all happens. And if you're in a city that has it, it's awesome. I'd get the handset right away. But for most of us who are RVers, it's going to be 2020 before we start to see enough cities and enough locations 5G to make it worthwhile to go out and buy those new handsets. I can tell you that if it was different, Apple would be rolling them out next year. But Apple says they're not even going to think about 5G until 2020 at the earliest. So I think that gives you a pretty good head start that you'll see some in 2019. But, Dan, not many until 2020. I wish we did because I'm really excited about it. It's going to be so fast. And for somebody who works on the road all the time, I'd love to have my hands on it. But got to wait. Pretty
good
fast.
For you.
Now, a lot of people are going to be using it for home phone, your home phone. It's you know, just it's blazingly fast. And
I can't wait either. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it really will. Because we even with broadband, we have Comcast at home and we do broadband, of course. We do 4G on the road, and it works okay. But 5G is going to be like nothing we've seen before. All right, here's another question.
Hi, Mike. I just listened to your segment on your upgraded entertainment system. I have a Winnebago Revel 4x4. My questions are: once you had this unit installed, did it mount flush into the dash like the existing one? And did you encounter the same hookup also incorporating your rear view camera at the same time that you did this install? And if you needed any extra adapters, that would be helpful to know. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's from Dawn. And Dawn, first of all, go look at the video I did. I'll put a link in the show notes, but if you go to RVLifestyleChannel.com, you can find that video. It's one of the current ones we put up about replacing the standard radio entertainment nav system on my Sprinter with this new radio, which is the Alpine 9-inch screen. It's the Alpine Halo 9-inch ILX F309. I'll put it in the show notes. Okay, so you first ask if it fits flush. No, it doesn't. It's a 9-inch screen, and the standard screen in the Sprinter is about 6, not quite 6. So it doesn't fit in that opening. It actually protrudes out about an inch, and that's the way the radio is designed in any vehicle you put it in, unless you have exactly that hole. It's very solid, and it, you know, I don't even... you know, it looks like you got an iPad stuck up there on the dashboard. That's what it looks like, especially when you hook it up to your smartphone. It's a very expensive radio. I mentioned it in the video and in the blog post. It's about $1,000, so it's not for everybody. Now, you ask, did the camera work? Yes, it did. It just works great. The backup camera that I have in the Sprinter integrates perfectly with the radio. However, I happened to be at the shop yesterday. I'm so impressed with the place I took it, which is Radio Knobs Speakers and Things. Isn't that a cool name?
That's a great name.
Yeah. It's a really great stereo shop in suburban Detroit. And Dell, who was the installer on this, is a master installer on this. He's so good that I took it back. I took the new RV back yesterday and had him put in my ham radio antenna for me. And one of my cell phone booster antennas as well. I mean, so it's just done so neatly. And I have one more project I think I want to go back next week for with him. But Dell is a really great installer. And I asked him yesterday, and I said, well, a lot of people are asking about the backup camera. And I said, you didn't have any trouble. And he said, well, I had to make an adapter for it. Now, Dell had done a couple of other installs on Sprinters with the same radio. So he knew exactly what he needed. And he just put together a quick little adapter, and it plugs right in and works fine. And he urged me to tell anybody else who asks about it, if you're going to install it, make sure your installer has some experience with the Sprinter and understands that he may have to fashion up an adapter for the camera to work. But it works perfectly with mine. The volume controls work and control the radio, and I could not be happier with it. Again, go see the video that I did, and you can see why I got it. And, you can make your own decision. And then I would follow Dell's advice. If you're going to get one installed, I'd make sure you talk to the installer and, have him call Alpine, the maker, or have him call Mercedes-Benz or somebody. But, you don't want somebody digging around in there and all those wires if they don't know what they're doing. And that was pretty good advice. But you haven't seen ours yet, really. You haven't been on a trip yet.
No, we have just been kind of going like crazy.
Oh, seeing is great. I mean, we plug in the smartphone, and you can use Waze, which is the best traffic app. You can use Google Maps. You can use Apple Maps. I can also then plug it in, and if I want to listen to our Audible books, we have Audible. We listen to audiobooks a lot when we're doing long trips. It's just like a tap and there it is. Same with all those podcasts we listen to. They all come right through the entertainment system. Great. You don't have cords running around. The only cord is connecting to your smartphone, and it's just really nice. And even, I have Apple Music, so we've got our own music. And I put Sirius XM FM, stereo radio in it as well. So when we're driving down the road, we can listen to whatever we want, and I'm really thrilled with it. So, but again, it's not for everybody. We do a lot of driving, and when we do a lot of driving, sometimes you need to break up the monotony. Okay, one more question this week. This came by email from a reader named Paul. He says, Mike, my wife and I are looking at a 2018 RS Adventurous RV. Any thoughts on a fair price given this time of year and it being a 2018? Well, don't think you're going to get a special deal because it's a 2018, Paul, because the 2019s are not available yet. The chassis, the Sprinter chassis from Mercedes-Benz, will be in the next 6-8 months. They'll start showing up at dealerships, but don't look for many before then. I would say you might see some the end of the first quarter, but not a lot. So the 2018 chassis, that's as new as it gets for right now for the Sprinter. And as in terms of a fair price, if you are negotiating at a dealership who has the unit on the lot, you have a lot of leverage there because they would love to move that inventory. And so you can take a look at their price and negotiate however you can, you feel wise. But there is an incentive for them to sell it by the end of this year. And if it's in inventory, they would like to get it off their lot and into your driveway. So you've got some leverage there. But if you're having one built, you probably would order a 2019. If you're having one built, you could probably still get a 2018 built. But it's not nearly the leverage you have as if you're buying it off the lot. So there you go. There you go. All right. That's our questions of the week. We love hearing from you. You know, this is all part of our blog as well. RoadTrekking.com is where you can leave us a voicemail message. Go to the blog. They have new content every day on the blog. Links to our videos and everything else, but particularly use the voicemail and you can record us a question. Just click that and you kind of use the microphone on your computer and or on your smartphone, and you can do it over and over until you're happy with it. And then you just push a button and send it to us and we get it right there and all's well, and we will put you on the air as well. Okay, this week, time for our interview of the week, and this is going to be fun. We have a very special guest and one of our favorite people, Chef MJ. Mary Jane Curry is her name, and she should be familiar to you. She writes RV recipes for our RoadTrekking.com lifestyle blog every week. And, well, I'm just going to get right into the interview and let you listen. So let's click the tab and bring on Mary Jane and set this interview up. If you are a regular reader of our RoadTrekking.com RV lifestyle blog, you are familiar with the name Chef MJ, Mary Jane Curry. She has been writing RV recipes for us for several years now, one of the most popular parts of our blog. Every week there's something neat to find. But now it is even neater because look what she just published. A small kitchen, big flavors, a brand new cookbook filled with recipes perfect for RV travelers. All of them are one page, so you don't have to be, you know, switching pages while you're cooking and prepping. All of them geared for that small kitchen that we have in our RV. Of course, you can cook them at home as well, but just a great, great book. And we'll put a link in the description below on how you can get one and get it still in time for the holidays. But we're delighted because in this episode, Chef MJ joins us from her RV, as a matter of fact, and she's got five great tips for us on how to get the most out of our RV kitchens. MJ, Mary Jane Curry, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, Mike. How about you?
I am doing terrific. Love the book. It is and what a great time of year to have it come out. And I know I hear everybody talking about it. Everybody's planning to try out this recipe and that. And we're thrilled. I hope you sell a million of them.
Oh, thank you.
So let's talk about five tips for everybody as they think about using, you know, their RV, heading out for maybe just a weekend trip, maybe a long trip. And planning and figuring out what to do about eating and how to prepare those meals in the kitchen of an RV. So let's start with your tips. What's the first
one? Okay, great. So I wrote down five tips that start off each of our trips and really help me out on how to plan for the trip. I've included those in the book also. So I wrote them down to make sure we get them in. This will be rather quick because we're doing five tips, but important tips for planning purposes. Number one is to plan ahead. Whether you're full-timing in an RV or you're going out for a day trip, just going to have dinner by the beach, which we do often, or you're going for 3 days, a week, you could even be out for months. What I do is I plan for 1 to 7 days in advance. Up to the week, if we're going out that long, is really important to do. And then what I do is I check our sticks and bricks pantry, fridge, and freezer and see what I need to rotate out while we're going to be on the road, and that will be interesting and flavorful. So
let me ask you that. Yes. You have in your RV, you have the smaller refrigerator, right?
Yes, we do.
You have the Rotrek RS Adventures, if I'm not
mistaken. Yes.
Yep. So that's a little smaller refrigerator. How much food can you carry in that?
Some of the tips I'm giving today are things that I've incorporated because we do have a smaller fridge and we have a very small freezer. So these have enabled me to be prepared for a week at a time by following some of these guidelines.
I think people will be delighted to know that you can take that much food in one of those smaller ones. Okay, that's tip one, plan ahead. And I guess that involves thinking through how many meals you're going to eat in and how many you're going to eat out and all that stuff.
You can just make a basic grid on a spreadsheet and include 7 days, 3 meals a day. You could include snacks also if you want. And then I put in what potlucks we're going to attend on which day, which meal, which days we're going to go out to the restaurant. Even the chef needs a day off sometimes. And then I fill it in with what I'm going to pre-prepare partially or fully with make-ahead meals at home and bring along in the RV and create some variety.
All right. More tips. This is good.
Okay. So to switch things up, let's say you have that you eat meat or chicken and you have you want to use up 3-4 chicken breasts on this trip. What I do is I'll change the spice profile and herbs that I put with each serving. And so I'll make one Mexican by adding cumin, salsa, and things of that nature, a little cayenne pepper. Make one French with some thyme, a creamy sauce, and you've got that profile going. Greek, I add some olives and olive oil, some lemon, and then for Chinese, some Chinese 5-spice soy sauce. So you get the idea. You can have the same thing and create different dishes by the way you add your spices, the way you slice or dice the proteins, and what you serve it with.
This is a good idea because oftentimes, you know, it's chicken or beef, chicken or beef, but that's like 4 different kinds of chicken that you just told
right.
us. All right.
Right. You can do it with any protein. It could be tofu, but changing your flavor and herb profile is a simple and easy trick to do so that you don't get bored eating the same thing.
Good, good. These are good tips. These are good. Keep them going.
Okay, I set a cook date. So before we plan a trip, a week or so out, I'll do as I said, I'll check my pantry fridge, see what I already have on hand. Then I'll look in the book for recipes that I want to make while I'm on the trip or some of the make-ahead meals that I'll take along with me. And then I create a grocery list, go to the store, and pick up the ingredients I don't have. And then I'll set aside 3 to 5 hours for cooking and get a few of the meals prepared in advance. On the cook date, what I do is I set up the ingredients I need in the portions that I need and in the order that it's called for in the recipe so that you're not starting a process of cooking and then running to your pantry to see, oh, do I have oregano? Oh, I'm out of flour. You know, where's the pan? So set everything up, your ingredients, your pots and pans, in the order they're called for, and in the portions that are called for in the recipe. That makes the process go very smoothly.
Now, we've all seen those cooking shows on TV where they have everything there and it makes it look so organized. They just dump it in the pot or the pan. And that's kind of what you're saying, basically have it all set to go. So you don't be, you're not saying, oh man, what am I going to do? I don't have any
spices. Yeah, we live out in the country. So it takes me 12, 13 minutes to get to the grocery store. So if I'm in the middle of cooking something and I don't have an ingredient, you know, that's going to set me back at least an hour or so.
All right.
And so being prepared in advance is really worth the time. Then I package and label. I use Ziploc freezer bags. I know some people are adverse to plastic bags and things like that, but I feel confident that it's not leaching into my food or anything like that. And I find them very, very, very handy, and you can write on them. So what I do is I prepare the menu. I prepare the recipes one at a time, and then I let the meal or snack or whatever it is come to room temperature if it's been cooked, and then place it in the Ziploc bag. I use a permanent marker, and then I put on there the date that I prepared it and what's inside. Chicken tortilla casserole, Chinese beef with broccoli. And then I make a little note how to heat or reheat it. So if I've already prepared it, it's just going to be reheating it in the microwave, stovetop, or in a saucepan on your grill. But if you do those, then it's not like finding mystery meat or wondering when you actually put it together. You know, was it this Halloween I made this, or was it last Thanksgiving? Because the food, although it'll be edible once it's frozen, it can get freezer burned, so it may not taste very good. You may have to cut some off, but it is still edible. But you'll see in the book that I show how long you can safely keep things in the fridge and freezer and still have them taste good. A lot of times you have like 3 to 6 months. But
We're talking about basically going out on a trip and eating and consuming what we're cooking, you know, on the trip.
Right.
So that isn't going to be a factor for people that are trying to. And I suppose the other thing about those smaller bags is they take up less room and everything's there. You don't have all these different ingredients and meat packaging and all that stuff because it's all in one bag, correct?
Right. You can have it in one bag, or you can put a bag inside of a bag. But some of the things you take along may actually be in your freezer. You may have prepared it 3 months ago, and you're going to rotate that out of your freezer at home and put it in your RV for this trip. So that's a good thing to do. But I would say that I find that to be very helpful. And the way that you condense space is once you have the portion that you're going to eat, if there's one of you, you know, put it in a quart-sized Ziploc bag. If there's two of you, you may put it in a quart or a gallon size if you're going to use it for two meals in a row or something like that. And you burp out the air so that it will compress as much as possible. And you can do that by putting, you fill the food partially into the bag for the portion that you're using, and then you rest the part without the food above the counter line, and then pull the bag down so you're burping all the air out at one time. Some people use a straw to suck the air out, but I use the counter method, and it works really good for me. And then I put it in the freezer before we go at home and store it flat. And then I can stack like at least 4 or 5 of those meals all at once, and they're ready to go or finish on the trip.
All right. How are we doing with our number five, our tips? I mean, we hit
number five. Only bring what you need for that trip. You know,
that's true of everything in the RV, right?
Bring everything. Yes. So, you know, I have an Instant Pot, and if I'm going to be doing mostly Instant Pot meals, I want something fresh and flavorful that I prepare at the campsite. You know, maybe I'll bring my Instant Pot and a saucepan and some tongs and a zester or things like that, a wooden spoon. But you don't really need to bring your sous vide and your air fryer and a lot of excess things that you're not going to use for that trip. So plan out your space wisely for how your menu plan is flowing.
Let's talk about that Instant Pot for a moment. I know you have a section in the book right there about the Instant Pot as well as convection oven. We did a video about the convection oven some time ago. Remember that? And people are
right.
Never used it for some reason. And they I've had many people say how they appreciate that. But now the Instant Pot seems to have just taken off and it's so popular. Talk a little bit about that and why that's such a gift for RVers as they're traveling.
Yes, I love the Instapot so much that I have two. I have a 3-quart that I use in the RV, and it's really easy to store, and it fixes enough food for the two of us while we're on a trip, and enough for some leftovers also. So it really does hold quite a bit, actually. And then I use a 6-quart at home, so I can make larger portions and freeze larger portions for upcoming events and things like that. But they are really, I think, wonderful. And they come in different styles. They go up to a 9-in-1 now. Mine's a 6-in-1. It has different features. So you can saute in them. So you're not using a saute pan on the stovetop. You can saute right in here. And then you can pressure cook, which is going to infuse the dish with enough flavor to really be enjoyable. You know, it would typically take you 5 to 7 hours to get that much flavor infused if you're just doing a stovetop method. But the pressure cooking really really seals in the flavor and the juices. So I love it, and it's very simple to do. And
it's also a slow cooker, right?
Pardon me?
It's also a slow cooker as well.
It's a slow cooker. It's a pressure cooker. And then it has different dials and things that you can use for rice and porridge and soup and stews. But most of those you can override by going to the manual mode. As long as you know the time that it's going to take to prepare the food, you can use the manual mode and then use your minutes up and down to adjust for that. So I believe I have 6 or more recipes in the cookbook that I made in the 3-quart and the 6-quart, and I've been pleased with all of them.
Now, one last question about the Instapot. Do you ever have it cooking while you're driving, while you're en route to someplace? Will that work that way? I know some people have done that with slow cookers.
I haven't had the need for that. Typically, I'll either prepare it in advance and put it in the Ziploc, or I'll wait till we get to the campsite and then plugged in, and then I cook it at that time. It only takes, like, risotto. Risotto is so yummy and lush. It used to take 30 minutes. Stir, add a little more broth, add a little more wine, stir. And here, it takes 7 minutes total. Yeah, so you really don't need to do it while you're on the road. You can do it while your spouse is setting the table.
I want to give everybody a heads up and a save the date now, because I don't think we've really announced this officially yet. But one of our road trekking gatherings this year is going to be with MJ, Chef MJ. Mary Jane is going to host us in May in Pismo, California. I think it's May 2nd through the 6th. And we are going to have a ball, because you're going to actually teach us how to cook and share some of your recipes that we can actually taste. Talk a little bit about that Thursday through Monday gathering that we're planning.
Right. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it's a beautiful part of California, the Central Coast. And if you like wine and things like that, not only does it have a beautiful coast, but there are many lovely wineries around there. And Hearst Castle, the Sea Lions, it's really spectacular. We go there every few months, actually. But what that weekend holds is Cinco de Mayo, which we'll be celebrating, and I'll be doing a class on a Mexican-themed dish that goes along with that idea and venue and things like that. And the Kentucky Derby comes at the same time that we're out there, and so we'll be having some fun with foods that are typical for Kentucky Derby and maybe some little games and other fun things involved with that. So I'll have a cooking demo and also a cooking class, and people can feel free to ask me anything while we're doing the class, after the class, and in follow-up. But I think it'll be a ball and get people comfortable with some different techniques.
It will be indeed a ball. And we will have sign-up information. We'll put it on the blog, and we'll, of course, share it all over Facebook. And I think the Heimer folks who are going to be our corporate sponsors on that gathering, they'll also be promoting it. But, I think right here is a good place to let everybody know that that is coming. It's and you want to maybe plan your travel. That's May 2nd through the 6th in Pismo, California. Sign up will be coming up pretty quick. And as soon as that's available, we'll link it. Well, Chef MJ, you have, as always, helped us out a whole bunch. We'll put a link to your book. And we urge people to visit the RV travel blog, roadtrekking.com, and they can every week see your awesome recipes. Please say hi to your husband, Jeff. And if we don't see you before May, Merry Christmas to you. And we're looking forward to sampling all these awesome, awesome recipes in your book, Small Kitchen, Big Flavors. Mary Jane, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
All right. It's Mary Jane. And again, go to the show notes, roadtrekking.com/221, and you'll see a link to her book, which is just a great book. Really nice. It's all on one page, so you can, prepare it. You don't have to be turning pages looking for the different ingredients and what the next step on. Even I could cook a meal following her recipes, and really great photographs, and you'll like it. We have a video version of that interview you just heard, and you can find that right on the show notes, roadtrekking.com/221. There's a click on it, and you can see Mary Jane. She's actually doing the interview from inside her RV, right, when we're talking to her. And there's also a full transcript of all the tips that she said, if you want to read it all over and make sure you got it all understand. Hey, the interview of the week is brought to you by our friends every week at this time at sunshinestatervs.com, where every new or used motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. They'll bring it to your driveway. At Sunshine State RVs, you will find the largest selection of used Class Bs anywhere in North America. If you're looking for a Class B from the late 90s to the current year, they've probably got one of the very model you're looking for. They have all the popular brands, Road Trek, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, and more. They also have a lot of brand new Class B RVs from Road Trek, from Coachman, from the Chinook brand. They've got some Heimers there as well, all brand new ones in stock, besides their huge inventory of used Class Bs, the largest used Class B inventory you'll find at any dealer anywhere in North America. Every RV, new and used, that they sell goes through a very thorough inspection process. Those used RVs that they sell, would you be surprised to know that they have 172 things that they check? They go through the entire mechanical and manual systems. They make sure everything's in top condition. They road test the vehicles to make sure that they run and drive the way they should. They go over the interior and the outside, every component turned on, every component tested to make sure it works. All of their used RVs thoroughly cleaned. Nick will work with you. Call him up. Ask for Nick Schmidt, Sunshine State RVs. Tell him what you're looking for, what you need. He'll find it for you, or find one that'll make you happy. He does a great deal. Just look him up. SunshineStateRVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
And time for us to check in with our regular Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett.
We were looking forward to a stop in Lindsborg, Kansas. Many of Tom's ancestors are Swedish, and we maintain a number of Swedish traditions, especially around holidays. There are a number of Scandinavian heritage towns in the Midwest, and this is one of the most enthusiastic. It was clear from the moment we turned the corner on Main Street that something was happening. The sidewalks were crowded, businesses had storefront displays, and two things that looked like walking sandwiches were strutting down the street. I typed into Google search, Lindsborg, events, and today's date. It came back with one word in Swedish. "Oh my gosh," said Tom when I showed it to him. "I had no idea. It's Waffeldagen."
Waffle Day is a particularly Swedish tradition. The story goes that it began because the name sounds very much like Valfrodagen, a religious holiday we in the U.S. call Annunciation Day. Swedes love to celebrate for any reason, and who could pass up a hot waffle in the waning days of winter? The costumed ambassadors we saw were, of course, waffles, not sandwiches. They wandered up and down through the crowds, handing out coupons and posing for pictures. Every shop in town had some waffle-themed promotion.
The town's several restaurants each offered up a take on the classic waffle, and even the bar was offering waffle shots. We passed a man in a horned Viking helmet and carrying a wicked-looking axe. His t-shirt said, "That which doesn't kill me had better run." A corner table was offering free coffee and cookies as we sat and watched and sipped. I remembered Tom's grandmother saying, "It takes a lot less water than you think to make a good cup of coffee." Clearly, the makers of this brew followed that advice.
Whether or not you're fortunate enough to be in Lindsborg on March 25th, there's still plenty to see here. The Hemslöjd shop sells traditional Swedish decor. You can have your name and greeting hand-painted on a dala horse to decorate your front porch, pick up some tumpties to bring good luck to your RV, and watch artisans carving and painting. Walk the Vadkomen Trail and learn about the town's early settlement by families from the old country.
Don't miss the Birger Svensson Gallery. This prolific artist came from Sweden in 1894 to serve on the faculty at Bethany College, where he taught until 1946. Rest a while in the Bethany Lutheran Church, eat Swedish meatballs at the Three Crowns restaurant, and take selfies with the many uniquely painted dala horses scattered throughout the town.
Before you leave, drive a few miles out of town to Coronado Heights. Legend has it that this hill, with breathtaking views across the Kansas prairie, is where the Spanish explorer gave up his search for the Seven Cities of Gold and turned back to Mexico. Spanish chainmail has been found in nearby archaeological digs. The hill is capped with a fort-like shelter built by the Civilian Conservation Corps in 1936 and features several nice hiking trails.
Lindsborg is only one of many small towns in the Plains and Upper Midwest that celebrate a particular ethnic heritage. Protivin, Iowa, was settled by Czech immigrants. Stoughton, Wisconsin, is home to many Norwegian families. Greeley, Nebraska, promotes its Irish history. Each of these is a doorway into a world of food, history, and culture that makes it unique and worth a visitor's time and attention. Come explore Europe in the heartland of the United States. We'll share our waffles, if you show up at just the right time, out here off the beaten path.
All right, Tom and Patty Burkett with another great report. A couple pictures we'll post on the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/221. Hey, the Off the Beaten Path report is brought to you by our friends at Harvest Hosts. And if you don't know about Harvest Hosts, let me tell you, this is a membership site, but it offers really unique overnight places you can stay if you're a member of Harvest Hosts. Places that you'd be surprised. For example, at wineries, right out there among the vineyards, at farms, at various tourist attractions across the country. Now, if you've have had it with spending $30 to $50 to overnight at a crowded campground or being awakened by all the noise and lights in a Walmart parking lot, Harvest Hosts offers overnight stops in all sorts of really fun and unique out-of-the-way places. Wineries, like I said, farms, from lavender farms to maple sugar farms to fruit orchards, vegetable farms. Now, you need to be self-contained and you have to call ahead and arrive during business hours, but your stay is absolutely free, though to be polite, you know, it's kind of expected that you buy a bottle of wine or some fruit or something. If you have not joined Harvest Host, you need to do so before the end of the year, because January 1st, the price will increase from the current $49 to $79 a year, but that's only for new members. So anybody who is signed up before January 1st gets locked into the current rate, which is $49 a year. But because you are a listener to the RV podcast, you can beat even that price. Get yourself grandfathered into the lower price and get a 10% discount. All you have to do is go to roadtrekking.com/harvesthosts. roadtrekking.com/harvesthosts. And they give our followers that unique price, 10% off. 10% off. You have to use that link, roadtrekking.com/harvesthosts. Do this before the end of the year, and you can be grandfathered in at that lower rate.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVPodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so that's another episode of Road Trekking, the RV Podcast. Remember, if you would like to have your voice heard, be a part of the podcast, please record, leave us a voicemail message. Click that right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. Hey, we want you to subscribe to the podcast. Just look it up on your favorite iPod app, whatever it is, your favorite podcast app, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever app you use, just search RV Podcast and you can sign up right there. New episodes of this podcast are released every Wednesday morning. We invite you also to be a part of our RV lifestyle community. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers every Monday. You just join that by going to roadtrekking.com/community. And don't forget the YouTube channel. We got lots of videos, as we've been talking about. Just search YouTube for RV Lifestyle Channel and you'll find us. Till next time, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendland. We'll see you out there somewhere road trekking across North America. Happy trails, everybody.